40 greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
I've been chatting with Nnamdi Hollywood Mueta, our reigning prince of pugilistics, about some of the latest developments in professional boxing. Nnamdi says he's really looking forward to a fight next month in New York involving welterweight champions Danny Garcia and Keith Thurman.
Sonny, this fight is the talk of the boxing world. These are two undefeated welterweight champions. This fight is a unification fight. Thurman is 27-0 with 22 big knockouts. Danny Garcia is 32-0 with 18 knockouts. And this will happen at the Barclay Arena in Brooklyn, New York City. And Sonny, we're used to all these lousy fights on pay-per-view and all that stuff that get you to pay $60-$70 to see a lousy fight. But this fight, Sonny, is on CBS free television on a Saturday night, March 4th, son. You can't go wrong with that. These are two orders that will entertain you on a Saturday night.
Are you expecting big ratings for that, Nnamdi?
Oh, son, it's going to be huge. Why? Because these two fighters, most of their fights have been on television. They bring action. They go toe-to-toe. Nobody back up, you know. And the fight fans, this is what they like to see. And for the fact that you don't have to have cable television, you don't have to have cable to see this fight. It's on regular television like we used to see in the 80s. The ratings will go off the roof, off the chain, like we say in Hollywood.
Okay, Nnamdi, let's look ahead to May. May 6th, an all-Mexican rumble. Saul Canelo Alvarez versus Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. What's the latest with that matchup?
Sonny, this fight is confirmed for T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Sonny. That's 17,000 people, Sonny. And a big weekend, Cinco de Mayo weekend. Cinco de Mayo is a big celebration for the Mexican people. The victory against the Mexican army against the French forces. People come out, and the Mexican fans. Sonny, Las Vegas, you know, from Los Angeles, you're talking about a three-hour drive, you know. So the arena will be sold out. Lots of folks will come into town. It will generate close to $50 million for the city. And these two Mexican warriors, they will go at it. And the fight fans, majority of the Mexicans will come out. So we're looking for a very, very exciting fight for these two warriors from Mexico.
T-Mobile Arena, one of the new facilities in Las Vegas. It seems like it's getting some really big boxing cards now, Nnamdi.
It's built for this kind of events, you know. Everything is right there. All the seats in the house, they're all good seats. Nothing blocks you from seeing the ring, you know. And not only that, you can go upstairs to the restaurants, eat, and still watch the fight. You can't go wrong. And all around the arena, you have casinos. So you can just take a walk from your bedroom to the arena, catch the fight, catch a dinner upstairs while the fight is still going on. Not few arenas around the globe can give you that big facility where you can enjoy yourself on a Saturday night. You don't miss any round. That's what the T-Mobile Arena gives you.
Nnamdi, a man who really knows how to enjoy himself. He lives in Vegas. Floyd the Money Man Mayweather. Still talk that he's going to take on the Irishman McGregor, the mixed martial artist. What's the latest with that?
Oh, Sonny, they've counted the money on the table and the money's really good, you know. That's what they call him, Money Mayweather, because he's the ATM. Boxing purist, everybody's mad that it's an insult for boxing, for Mayweather to take on a mixed martial art guy. But Mayweather is a businessman, and he knows that this fight, he wants a guaranteed $100 million, and he will get it.
Let's say Mayweather-McGregor takes place, Namdi. Would they go at it under boxing rules or mixed martial arts rules?
Don't expect Floyd Mayweather to be on the floor wrestling with this guy. There's no way. Floyd Mayweather is the promoter. He counts the money at the front and the back end. He will dictate to the Boxing Commission in Las Vegas, the Nevada State Athletic Commission, under what rule it must be. And it must be a boxing rule. So he will, going into the fight, he will have all the advantage to knock this guy silly and collect his money.
Namdi, Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko were in New York this week to promote their April 29th heavyweight showdown at Wembley Stadium in London. Let's hear a bit of what they had to say. International Boxing Federation champion Anthony Joshua, with 18 prize fights, was asked about his readiness for the more experienced Klitschko.
The questions are, as you said, is it too soon? What type of audience has he fought in front of before, and what type of opponents has he faced? Is it too soon? But I feel whatever occasion I've been put in front of in my early stages of my career, I've always overcome. And people say, how do you feel about fighting in front of 90,000 people? Could you ever picture it? And I say, no, it's not that I couldn't picture it, but I don't think God would ever put me in a position that I couldn't handle. So I'm here for a reason, and I'll handle business the same way I've been handling business. And even though we're in front of 90,000 people and the world watches, the objective still remains the same, and that's to be victorious.
IBF heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua hoping to be victorious on April 29th in London. Joshua is 27 years old, while Klitschko will be 41 when he steps into the ring at Wembley. Still, former champ Klitschko says the timing is right.
I think it's a perfect time for both of us. In 3 years, he's going to be too good. And I'm going to be too old, maybe. But this is the time, and we just got it in the right time. And it's definitely a signature fight for boxing, period, because I love that we're sitting here and we can have a healthy and normal conversation with each other. In this crazy world, with all the wars and all the controversies and all of that, it's amazing to see in such a competitive sport as boxing, where actually we will demolish each other in the ring afterwards, but we're respectful to each other, we're respectful to the sport and to the fans, and you know what? It pays off. It pays off because that's going to polish this amazing sweet science.
Former world heavyweight boxing champion Vladimir Klitschko speaking in New York. Namdi, why was the news conference held in New York if the big fight is in London?
Because the fight at the Wembley Arena is already sold out, 90,000 people. What they're doing now is to broaden it so that you in America, you like to see this fight. You want to go out and watch this fight, make it a global fight. And because of that, they had to do New York City. I'm mad that they did not do it Los Angeles, because LA is still LA, bro. We're far away, but still LA, man. You got to do LA if you do New York. But still, yeah, you must do LA, bro.
April 29th, Namdi, which network will be showing Joshua Klitschko?
Sonny, don't forget these two networks, HBO, Home Box Office, and Showtime. Both networks have exclusive contract with each fighter. HBO has contract with Klitschko, and Showtime gave homeboy Anthony Joshua lots of money. So what we see here, they're both trying to negotiate whereby everybody will make good money, win or lose. So that's what's happening. At the end of the day, they must break bread. This fight must be on only one network, Showtime or HBO.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta.
The Voice of America. VOA.
Our big African football story this week on the VOA was Cameroon winning its fifth Nations Cup title in Libreville, Gabon. The victory set off celebrations in Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to this report from Moki Edwin Kinzeka in Yaoundé.
Thousands of fans celebrated on the streets of the capital Yaoundé. They hit spoons, dishes, drums, and blew trumpets to celebrate Cameroon's championship victory at the Africa Cup of Nations. This fan, Njitap Anatol, says he is very proud because Cameroon has defeated Egypt by 2-1. He says the Lions can beat any team in the world. Cameroon went into the 16-team tournament with low expectations after 7 regulars called up to participate refused to play. They said they were too busy with important games for their European teams. But others, like goalkeeper Fabrice Ondua, who plays for a Spanish club, did show up winning accolades.
Ondua is a grand sportif.
Football fan Pauline Cheju says Ondua is a great sportsman. He is sticky like chewing gum. When he takes hold of the ball, he does not let it go. Victory has redeemed Cameroon's coach Hugo Broos, who faced criticism after 7 team regulars refused to play. Broos said he did not want players who may not give their best. 15 of the players on this year's Cameroon team were playing in a continental tournament for the first time. One of Cameroon's Premier League coaches, Elundu Kizito, said the team showed patriotism and professionalism.
Lorsqu'on rentre dans l'honnêteté professionnelle, de manière intellectuelle, on comprend que...
He says, although Hugo Broos has never trained a national football team of any nation and faced difficulties assembling trusted players and regulars, he still found the winning formula. He says all coaches should learn from Broos's example. This anthem to the Lions by Cameroon's military band blasts through speakers at the head office of Cameroon's Football Federation. Hundreds of supporters are here awaiting transport to the airport to give the team a hero's welcome. Our Fonka Augustine, governor of Cameroon's Western Region, is one of the fans ready to welcome the team home.
A great day. This is wonderful. Unexpected. I think the majority of us saw this team from the beginning and we didn't believe that they could come up with these wonderful results. Today we see what faith and determination can do. I think they've made all of us proud.
Besides winning the Continental Trophy, Cameroon striker Christian Bassogok was voted best player of the tournament, Fabrice Ondua best goalkeeper, and team captain Benjamin Mukanjo man of the match. It was Cameroon's first time to lift the AFCON trophy since 2002. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The indomitable Lions of Cameroon are the best mover in FIFA's February rankings. Nations Cup champion Cameroon rose 29 places from January to 33rd overall. That's the biggest move of any of the 205 teams listed in the FIFA rankings. The Pharaohs of Egypt, who lost to Cameroon in the Nations Cup final, are 23rd overall and first in Africa, followed by Senegal at 31 and Cameroon at 33. Tunisia is 36th overall, the Democratic Republic of Congo is 37th, and Burkina Faso is 38th. Rounding out the top 10 African teams, according to FIFA, Nigeria is 41st, Ghana is 45th, Ivory Coast is 47th, and Morocco is 48th. Taking a quick look at the very top of FIFA's February rankings, Argentina is number one overall, followed by Brazil, Germany, Chile, and Belgium. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 for a look at sports social media trends is my VOA colleague, Doug Bernard. Happy Friday, Doug.
Happy Friday. Great to be here, Sonny.
Welcome back, Doug. What's trending in the sports world?
Several things. And first, this is a story. The first story that we have today is really one that is both a sports story and one that relates to some contemporary politics and things happening in the country right now. Now, you may recall, you and I were chatting a little bit earlier, our listeners may recall, in 2016, the U.S. Muslim American athlete Ibtihaj Muhammad. She is a fencer. She competed for the U.S. Team USA in fencing, did very well, highly regarded in the sport. And she also is the first player, U.S. player, to wear a hijab in any, you know, Olympic competition, which for some countries has been an issue or whatnot. Anyway, she's an American citizen. However, recently, as she was traveling abroad and she was trying to get back into the United States, and she was detained by U.S. Border and Customs agents. She was detained for a number of hours. She was questioned. She is now speaking about her experience. She is saying that she asked first, like, you know, why am I being detained? What's going on? I'm an American citizen. You know, I'm not from any of the countries, the seven countries where these travel restrictions have been imposed. I'm not a refugee. People did not. She says the authorities did not answer her questions. She said her status is, and I'm going to quote here, her status as a U.S. Olympian didn't reprieve her. Quote, even though I represent Team USA and I have that Olympic hardware, it doesn't change how you look at people and how people perceive you. She said that she was upset and disappointed by the experience, and she wants to stay strong for others. Quote, I feel like I have to speak up for those people whose voices go unheard. I try to remember to be positive and to leave all these situations, even if they may be difficult, with love. So people on Twitter are sending their thanks to her. One of the most common comments. She doesn't. She has her own Twitter account, but she's not necessarily talking about that. But one of the most common comments I've seen is related with a hashtag that we were discussing a little bit earlier on International Edition, which is hashtag She Persisted.
Okay.
You know, people kind of giving their support to her, saying, you know, sorry you had to go through this. This is terrible. Nobody so far. Everybody's behaving themselves. Whatever people's feelings on the president's temporary travel restrictions from those nations and for refugees. People are behaving themselves, so far at least, on Twitter and Facebook. So that's an encouraging thing. Interesting story. We've seen stories like this before, you know, and there is deeper questions. There's a number of U.S. athletes who have ethnic ties or sort of national ties back to some of these nations, or athletes who are in the United States on green cards. They compete for the United States. And this is raising a lot of concern. Athletes have to travel abroad to compete.
And that's an interesting point, Doug, because I think, like, for instance, the USA team that went to the Rio Olympics last year, I think they probably received some sort of special clearance from the Brazilian authorities.
That's exactly right.
But once the Olympics are over and they start traveling individually to wherever,
right,
you're right, they can face these type of incidents.
So it's creating, I think, a lot of characterize it that way, but it is certainly creating among a number of athletes some insecurity or doubt as to, you know, where this leaves them and what they can do. So, you know, obviously this is a situation that has not been resolved in the United States politically or legally. So those machines are going to just have to keep rolling. This is, I think, a story potentially we might want to keep an eye on to see how it develops in the future.
Doug, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. What else is trending, Doug?
Well, this is an interesting story, and the social media conversation is not going the way that I might have predicted it's going, and maybe that's a good thing. So now, oh, I'm so sorry. The number of New England Patriots football players who say that if invited to the White House for a ceremony with the president, six now say they will not go to the White House. Now, every now and then before, we've seen players say, oh, they're not going to go. I remember Tim Thomas, who is was Boston's goalie for the Boston Bruins. When they won the Stanley Cup, they were invited to the White House when Mr. Obama was president. And he very clearly came out politically and said, I don't support this president. I'm exercising my right as a citizen. I will not go to the White House, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, people create some conversation. But as I say, now there's six: running back LeGarrette Blount, defensive end Chris Long, defensive tackle Alan Branch are the three latest ones. So when I saw this, I thought, oh, dear, this is just going to be a continuation of some of the, just foul kind of comments we saw yesterday and we discussed yesterday. All the players, now all these six players are all African-American. But that's not what's happened. What's actually happened is that people are taking to Twitter just to remind everybody that Tom Brady did not go to the White House when the Patriots won in, 2015?
2015, right.
When, again, Mr. Obama was in the White House. Mr. Brady said at that point, well, he had family business. So here's just some comments on Twitter. Shaolin Fantastic tweeting out, remember, Tom Brady didn't go to the White House after the Super Bowl when he was in charge. Where did he go? To the Apple Store. Mr. Brady had he said he was on family business. Let's see, this is Lenisa writes, conservatives angry about Bennett's decision, like Tom Brady, as Tom Brady did the same to President Obama. One last one from Jay Mood here. Tom Brady had mysterious scheduling conflicts to avoid going to the White House while Obama was president. You can bet he'll show up this time. That's probably a pretty safe bet.
Doug, one quick minor correction. Chris Long, one of the Patriots you mentioned, he's a white defenseman Patriots. Interestingly, he's part of some Super Bowl trivia. His father, Howie Long, was also a Super Bowl champion. Mm-hmm. And I think they are one of 19 father-son duos to win Super Bowl trophies. So Chris Long and Howie Long.
Wow. you had that right at your fingers. No, thanks for the correction. And again, that's important to note, and it's also just sort of relevant. Maybe that's changing the conversation in some ways. I don't know.
What else is trending out there, Doug?
Well, very quickly, and we only have a few moments left, but yesterday, Duke basketball team, college basketball team, went up against UNC, and Grayson Allen, who plays for Duke, just had an amazing, amazing game. He scored 7 3-pointers. Watching the highlight reel, it was astounding. He had a total of 25 points that game, and you can bet your bottom dollar that there's a lot of very happy Duke fans on Twitter, just thanking him. Grayson Allen, thank you so much. Grayson Allen reminded people just how good he is tonight. America should be proud of Grayson Allen, etc. So a lot of love being expressed there for Duke's star of the moment.
Thank you, Doug. Doug Bernard joining us here in Studio 22. And that wraps up the February 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States is a leader in supporting the clearance of dangerous remnants of war all over the world. Since 1993, we have invested more than $2.6 billion to clear or destroy landmines, unexploded ordnance, and other dangerous conventional weapons and munitions. In doing so, we are helping post-conflict communities to recover and to rebuild. One of our success stories is Zimbabwe's Burma Valley. Located on Zimbabwe's border with Mozambique, Burma Valley is a hot, low-lying area where generation after generation of farmers planted tobacco and fruit trees. But due to its strategic position, in the 1970s during Zimbabwe's War of Liberation, thousands upon thousands of landmines were sown throughout the area to prevent cross-border raids by guerrilla fighters. By the time the war ended in 1980, Zimbabwe was peppered with very dense, unfenced minefields. Even to this day, Zimbabwe is one of the most highly mine-impacted countries in the world. Leftover landmines and unexploded munitions stand in the way of post-conflict stabilization and inhibit long-term development. They render thousands of acres of land unusable and destabilize communities, and the remnants of war continue to claim new victims. Since 1980, more than 1,500 Zimbabwean people and 120,000 livestock have been killed in landmine accidents. Indeed, in some districts, the cattle are trained to move to pasture in a single file to minimize their exposure to anti-personnel landmines. One of the organizations working to clear landmines in Zimbabwe is Norwegian People's Aid. With support and funding provided by the United States, this group surveyed Burma Valley and cleared the landmines, completing operations in 2015. This effort to help Zimbabwe safely clear landmines and unexploded munitions has made a life-changing difference for area residents. The farmers have moved back, rebuilding homes and cattle corrals, and tilling and planting the recently demined fields. Over the last 4 years, the United States has provided more than $7.6 million for humanitarian demining in Zimbabwe, $3 million of it in 2016 alone. The United States is investing in mine and explosive clearance because by doing so, we not only protect civilians from explosive remnants of war, but we also enable lasting peace.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Celebrate the sounds of Africa today, yesterday, and tomorrow. That's our mission in your show, Music Time in Africa. Hello, I'm your host, Heather Maxwell. Join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC and discover the best Pan-African music in the world. We play it all right here, only the best on VOA Africa.
Next on Let's Talk, Love and Valentine's Day in America. Do you have a Valentine? Join host Sunday Shumari and his guests discussing love and Valentine. Let's Talk comes to you Mondays at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA News.
When news breaks, VOA News is there.
Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.